Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight and good to be with you. Welcome, everybody. Hallelujah. All right. If I can get going here. Okay. Make sure and call into the show 319-527-6027. And we will minister to you personally and beg God with you to be blessed. And give you some kind of information that you need from the Lord to let you know that he's on your side, that he's for you, that he's with you. Somehow he's working in your behalf, and maybe you're working in his behalf. Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, that you're working, you're on his side, basically. That would be really awesome, yeah. All right, let's get ready to do the show. All right, hopefully you're doing good. If not, we're going to be praying for you, of course. So get ready for that. If you need any kind of special prayer, just let me know. And we will make sure and do that for you, with you, and believe God with you for whatever you need. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the place where we do it more than we talk about it. That is prophesy and minister to you. And we are here to glorify the Lord. And to make you rich with God information, with not your information or my information, but God information for you, on your behalf, working in your behalf, working for you, not against you, right, but for you. Yeah, because God's word works for you, and it's always working for you, and that it's there to help work everything out for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. So when you're getting God, when you're saying, God, I want to be involved in your purposes for my life, and you mean it, you know, then things begin to work out good for you because God knows that you don't know how to get there and what to do. He knows that you don't know everything, right? I don't know everything. You don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. And so God knows that we don't know everything. So what does he do? When you get into God's purpose, you know, a lot of people are saved, and they know Jesus as their Savior, and they're born again. But they're not walking in the will of God or the purpose of God. The will of God is the purpose of God, right? So when you start realizing that and you start seeing that and understanding that, it changes everything. It changes the way you think about what you do. So let's back up to that for a second. So the will of God and the purposes of God are the same thing. So you're saying not my will or not my purpose, not what I think. But what do you think, God? What do you think I need to be doing? What's going on? What do I need to be doing? And so when you're doing that, you're saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Sometimes you're going to struggle with it. Sometimes you're going to battle with it. Sometimes you're not going to be sure that that's the right thing, right? Everybody does it. I talk to people about this stuff all the time. They're always going, well, I'm not really sure. Well, welcome to the crowd. None of us are totally perfectly sure. Sometimes we have to walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, that means you don't always know exactly where you're going and what you're doing. And that we need to get in our brains that it's okay that you don't know which way to go. It's okay that you don't know everything you're doing every moment of the time. Because walking by faith, friend, is knowing that you're born again, you got a relationship with Jesus, and that you want him to have his way in your life. And he may not be having his way in your life at the moment, but, you know, you keep seeking him until you enter into what we call his will. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God, or the purposes of God. Jesus walked in perfect purpose. He knew that, you know, one thing he knew more than anybody was that he could only do what he saw his Father did. And when you know that, then you realize that the more you see what the Father's doing, the more you walk in the higher level you walk in, the purposes of God, like 30, 60, 100-fold, right? According to your understanding, understanding is everything. Jesus understood. He understood the Father. He knew the Father. He fellowshiped with the Father. He prayed to the Father. Everything he did was to the Father. So he, because he totally depended on the Father, though he was probably the only person in all creation who really didn't need to depend on the Father to live a good life, because he was a holy man. He was a godly man. But in order for the purposes of God to be done, he knew the only way he could walk in God's purpose was to do what he saw the Father do, and that is, how do you see something? You get your eyes on it. You focus on it. You look into it. You're looking to him. You know, as long as Peter was looking to Jesus on the water, he walked on the water. It's the same thing. The only way you're going to walk in the will of God, friend, is seeing Jesus or seeing the Father and keeping your eyes on him, because that's what enables you to walk on the water or walk in the will of the Father. And, you know, Peter kind of got the good thing, the good will of God going on, because he stepped out on the water and Jesus was doing it perfectly. He never sank. He never sunk, right? Because he always had his attention on the Father. But Peter got his eyes off, and he began to sink from his purpose. Yeah. You can walk in the will of the Father, the purposes of God, the more you learn to keep your eyes on him, keep your attention on him, to focus on him, to want his will, to need him, to desire him, to be consumed by him. That's what draws you in to the will of God. That's what draws you out of the boat onto the waters. In the water realm, the storm realm, oh, when you walk in hundredfold, when you walk in the will of God, the storms cannot mess with you. If you're outside the will of God and you're just kind of trying to hang on for dear life and make it through, hoping you're saved when you get through, if you're either saved or you're not, but you know what I'm saying. Oh, God, I hope I make it through this thing. I hope I, you know, get me out of this storm. But to those who walk with Jesus, you know, they're looking for, you know, they can walk on the water when the storm's raging. That's what the will of God is, friend. In the will of God, you're going to have storms. But the storms, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, like Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. When you see Jesus and you're looking and you're knowing and you're seeking what he wants for your life, then you're going to walk on the water. You're going to walk in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the will of God is your protection. In the will of God is your protection. If you're not in the will of God, your protection is come and go-ish. You never know what's going to happen. But if you're in the will of God, ain't nothing going to happen to you. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. Oh, yeah. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. Except the Father knows just what to do. So, yeah. So, you know, in other words, when you're walking in the will of the Father, you and him are connecting in fellowship with each other. You're not off over here saved and love Jesus and trying to stay in the boat, trying to hang on for dear life. You know? No. People who walk in the will of God can walk in the middle of a storm. In fact, the storm realm is where the will of God will lead you. The storm realm is where the will of God will lead you. Remember it says that if you want to walk in the hundredfold blessing, Jesus said, if you look at the scripture, all this is spontaneous. But he says, to walk in the hundredfold, you will face persecution. That's why I tell people, are you sure you want to walk in hundredfold? Jesus walked in hundredfold, and he saw a lot of miracles. He prophesied powerfully, spoke over people, prayed over people, ministry things happened that were amazing. But everywhere he went, they were always out to get him. Did y'all realize that? And was he in the will of God, or did he kind of slip out once in a while? And when he slipped out, all of a sudden here came, you know, these mean religious people and kind of slipped up on behind him when he wasn't looking and when he was outside the will of God for a moment. And all of a sudden, you know, they tried to nail him and, you know, mess him up. No, no. Watch this. He walked in the will. He walked in hundredfold. I think we could say Jesus safely say Jesus walked in 100 foreground, right? I mean, I think that we did. We can just put that one down. So let's look at 100 foreground for a minute and the will of the Father and the 100% will of the Father. What's that like? Well, all you got to do is look at the life of Jesus, all right? So you, if you study the Bible at all, you know the overall day-to-day life Jesus had. He hung out with his disciples, the brothers. They were a little goofy. They were a little bit carnal. They were a little bit, you know, we're hanging out with the big bad Messiah, and we could, I'm going to get my mama, and my mama can get me, some favor with him, and we'll sit on his right hand and left hand. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, that's what Jesus had to deal with every day for him. Not only did he have to deal with people from the outside who were trying to take him down, he had to deal on the inside with people who just totally misunderstood everything he was doing. They didn't know he was going to die. They didn't know what he was going to suffer. They didn't have a clue what was going on. They thought he was just going to take over. Rome was going to be defeated, and the Jews were going to be back at it again. And, man, my God, this is going to be amazing. That's what they thought. And, brother, were they wrong, because they totally misinterpreted the will of God. So they were always arguing and bickering. You see it in the Scripture. We got to wake up to reality. The brothers and sisters sometimes, there's a little bit of jealousy. There's a little bit of, I'm better than you. I know more God. I know God better than you do. Come on. Come on. You know that's there. It's there all the time. But those who learn from the Messiah, those who learn from the Word of God, those who learn from the Holy Spirit, they change. They start learning to love one another. They start learning to put the other in front of the other, put the other person in front of themselves, and learn how to do that. And that kind of changed. But Jesus had to deal with this. Walking in 100 fold, friend, doesn't mean all the people around you that are serving with you or whatever are just going to like be going, oh, yeah, we all get along. It's all awesome. I'm sorry. If you live in that world, you're living in like la-la land. Yeah, and it ain't right. It's not true. You know, we deal with people. And people, as soon as you get people some money, as soon as you get them some authority, if they're not prepared for that, they're going to go, at first at least, they're going to go a little bit berserko, get a really big fat head, start acting like they're bad to the bone, just like, you know, the disciples did. The disciples are a good example of what you and I act like. Right. Okay, so make a long story short. We see one side of walking in 100-fold is that having people around you, disciples, that are learning from you, sometimes those people, now we don't have that problem on Block Talk. I think Block Talk's TGN is the only place that doesn't have that problem. I mean, seriously, we don't have issues compared to what I look in the Bible and go, oh, my God. You know, as sometimes things crop up a little bit here and there, but, you know, it's when God draws mature people around you, it just makes all the difference in the world. It's amazing, the difference. So Jesus had to deal with that. Okay, let's look at the other part, the storm realm, talking about walking in the perfect will of God. You're going to walk in persecution. The hundredfold realm comes with persecution. So when you walk in that, you realize that the people who are against you, who are out to take you down for whatever reason, they're either jealous of what God's doing through you, they don't understand what you're doing. Maybe you have a following, and maybe you got some gifts. Maybe you got some things going on with God that they don't understand. And these leadership people, these people who you're honing in on their territory, like in the prophet realm, when you start honing in on the crowds in the prophet realm, where, you know, every prophet person has their own group of people, their own crowd of people, right? And, you know, if you start doing a little bit more stuff than they're doing or say something that they're not saying, and something what you say comes to pass, and something they say doesn't come to pass, I'm going to guarantee you, friend, it's hell. It's raining. It's hailing. I'm just going to say it like that. It's raining, snowing, and hailing. Yeah. And you just learn to – that's just part of walking in I'm not walking 100-fold. I don't think anybody I know is walking 100-fold, but Jesus was. And they always were trying to trip him up. He walked in the storm realm all the time. They were always hanging around waiting for something to trip him up. Could you imagine that? Almost, not every day, but almost on a regular basis. They followed him. They watched him closely. They sent spies out to watch him. They were watching for a way to get him. They finally got Judas, one of his close disciples, to betray him.
Oh, so you think they weren't watching? You think they weren't looking? You think they weren't constantly stirring up the storm and Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, they were always trying to trip him up and find some way to call him a blasphemer so they could crucify him, and eventually they did, only because God allowed it? This is what it's like, friend, living in the hundredfold. Are you sure you want it? In any area of the will of God, any area of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, 3,600-fold will of God, you're going to find yourself in storms. At 30-fold, the storms are there. They're not as bad. They're not as intense, but they're there. And the sooner you learn to overcome the 30-fold realm of storms, the sooner you're going to move to the 60-fold realm of storms. In the realm of blessing, the realm of fellowship with God, the realm of 60-fold understanding. 30-fold understanding is amazing. 60-fold understanding is wow. 100-fold understanding is woo, yeah, amazing. But with all that increase of understanding, the enemy starts coming after you because he realizes and starts seeing that you are a threat to his kingdom. Jesus was a complete threat to the kingdom of Satan. He was such a threat that he turned, of course, turned the Jewish people, which God allowed it to happen for a season, to have him crucified. The priests were the ones, the Jewish priests were the ones who had to offer up the lamb. So one of them, the priesthood, had to, you know, have him crucified, had to have him offered up. It was a pattern of the Old Testament. The priest always did that. So you see what happened. Who's the one that basically had him crucified? And encourage people to yell out, crucify him. It was the religious leaders. It was the priesthood. They were the ones, the Sanhedrin, the ones that were in control of the religious realm. They had him and really had his throat cut or how well they did the lambs and had him put up on a cross and shed his blood. It was all the will of God. But hundredfold comes with great rewards, 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Anytime you're walking in the will of God, many Christians are walking outside the will of God. Therefore, they have no real provision, no constant realm of provision. They have no constant realm of protection in their life. But one thing that those who walk in the will of God have is storms. But the thing is, though you walk through the valley of storms, you don't have to fear any evil because God is with you in that storm. Why? Because you're walking in the will of the Father. Many, 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 many Christians don't walk in the will of God. They get saved, they go to church, and they just kind of like, you know, kick along. They're in the boat trying to hang on for dear life when the storms come. And yet God has chosen those who walk in the will of the Father, walk on the water, walk in the will of God. And with that comes storms. And until we learn that and start seeing that, because we start thinking if we're walking the will of God, I ain't going to have no storms. It's all going to be great. No, no. The thing is that God's going to be with you even more so in the storm, knowing that he's going to train you. He's going to show you how to walk in the storm. He's going to show you how to live in the storm and how to keep your eyes on him, because the storm is nothing but a test or a distraction kind of thing that to see – to cause you to know that if I don't focus my attention on Jesus and I get distracted by the storm, that the storm is going to take me down. So you learn, I'm either going to go down in the will of God or I'm going to keep walking on the water and go from 30, 60 to 100-fold because I'm in the will of the Father and I'm learning how to, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of storms raging around me, I keep my eyes on Jesus. That's what the storm does. It's so threatening. The storms are threatening. Every level, 3,600-fold, every level, as you go higher, the storms are more threatening. But the more threatening they are, the more God uses the threats of Satan, the threats of Goliath, threatening to get you to get your eyes on God and the kingdom of God and what God's doing. And that's what causes you and trains your focus to stay on Jesus, because you know if you get your eyes off that storm is so threatening that Goliath will take me down in 5 seconds. or the storm will take me down in a moment. And Peter knew that. Peter knew it. He knew how strong the storms were. The storms weren't something you mess with. I mean, Jesus wasn't afraid because he walked in hundredfold. When you walk in hundredfold, which is what we're all headed toward, hundredfold, when you reach hundredfold, it's because you've learned how to keep your eyes on the Father and see what the Father's doing, no matter how many people are hating you, no matter how many people are fighting you, no matter how strong the hurricane is that's all around you. You don't fear evil at all. You know the storm is there. You know you're walking through a valley of the shadow of death, but you got your eyes on the master of the disaster, and you don't have to worry about it because you know that you are safe and kept in him, and nothing's going to happen to you until it's time for the Father. If the Father allows anything to happen to you, it's because the Father allowed it to happen to you. Jesus was in the realm of hundredfold. He overcame. He slipped right through them every time they were going to kill him. There were storms everywhere where he went. He was threatened constantly. Do you know why? He didn't fear. You know why? Because he walked through the valley of shadow of death every day. What's the shadow of death? Jesus walked through the shadow of death every time they were going to push him off the cliff and kill him, or they would threaten to kill him. Let's get him. Let's kill him. And he would just kind of walk right through them. What enabled him to do that? He walked in hundredfold. And therefore, they could never get him. They could never take him down until the appointed time of the Father, until 3.5 years of his ministry, which he reminds me of the two witnesses, same thing. Jesus taught and preached for about 3.5 years, and then he was crucified. Right? The two witnesses prophesied for how long? 3.5 years. And then they're killed. And their bodies are there for 3.5 days. Right? 3.5, 3.5. And then they were caught up to the Father in front of the whole world. Can you imagine that camera shot? You'd want your action camera on that one because, oh, la, la, it's going to happen big. Okay, so let's get back to what we're focusing on. So the whole purpose of walking in the, when you understand walking in the will of God, comes with storms, but the storm in the will of God also means that the will of God is with you. In other words, that the will of God, what's the will of God for you? The will of God for you is to get you in 100-fold. So he starts you out at 30. Once you choose to walk, you start walking through some storms, storm after storm after storm after storm. The storms are training, friend. They are training. They're training to keep your eye. You know this is going to destroy you. If you turn around and look at it, you know you're going to go down. You know how big this storm is. You know what these lawyers can do, what these courts can do. You know what these a million people, when they decide that they're against you, what they can do against you and mess you up. You know if you get your eyes off of Jesus, what can happen to you. So what does it cause you to do? Oh, it's a good training strategy of God. Oh, I better keep my eyes on Jesus. Oh, I better keep my eyes on the Father. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Jesus, help me keep my eyes on you, please. Because you know, just like Peter, you're going to sink. It doesn't mean you're going down. It doesn't mean you're not coming back. Oh, you're coming back all right. And you learn from what you sunk in. What did you sink in? Well, everybody sinks in a little bit different kind of a storm. Some people sink when the attorneys come after them. Some people sink when the judges come after them. Some people sink when the crowds come after them. Some people sink when they're outnumbered. You know what? God wants to train us, friend, with the biggest, baddest storms blowing across your life, where you just people just can't figure out why can't I get his focus off of Jesus and on the storm? Why can't I get his focus off of what he's doing and get it over here? He needs to fix this. He needs to fix that. He needs to change this. He needs to change that. Oh, he better come over here and fix this and fix that and fix all this. Oh, why can't we get his attention off it? Because God's teaching him or her how to focus on Jesus and let Jesus take care of things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will take care of your issues. He'll take care of your problems. He'll tell you what to do. Don't let them tell you what to do. Don't let them tell you what to straighten out. Don't let them tell you what to fix. My God, let the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost tell you what you need to fix. Who's your God? God Almighty or them? who knows best what's really wrong with you and what you really need help with than him. And he's going to help you. David would not put his life in the hands of men when he was given a choice to put his life in the hands of men. And the plague, remember the plague, where 77,000 people died because of him, as he counted Israel, remember that? God gave him three choices. And one of those choices was being put in the hands of men. The other one was being put in the hands of God. And he goes, I never want to be placed in the hands of men. I'd rather be placed in the hands of God and let God chastise me. So he did that. And the plague, that's when the plague hit Israel. And that's when David went out and bought the mount that Jesus actually ended up dying on and made an offering that stopped the plague. But he says, I will not let men. When I get right with God, I get right with God. I'm not getting right with people. But when you get right with God, God will have you. He will tell you how to get right with the people. If there's something that you can do about it, sometimes people just want to draw you out to get right with me because they're just trying to distract you from what you're doing, from what God has called you to do. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Sometimes there's nothing but a strategy. Sometimes, most of the times, those people don't even have a clue what the enemy's trying to use them to do. The enemy will use people to get you distracted. Come over here and fix this. You need to stop what you're doing and come over here and take care of this business. And God's saying, keep your eyes on me, Randy. Keep your eyes on me, whoever you are, PGN. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Lift him up, exalt him, praise him, exalt him in all your doings, and he will fix what needs to be fixed the way he wants it. The things need to be fixed? Of course they do. Sometimes we need to go talk to people about things, but we got to do it when the Father says do it. Because when the enemy's trying to promote getting people to get your attention, then he's got a purpose to get you distracted from him. It doesn't mean we don't go talk to people about stuff and go, but sometimes the enemy, you know, tries to get them to get you to let them put yourself in the hands of men. No, you don't ever want to put yourself in the hands of men. I don't care how good they are. They can turn in a moment, friend. They'll turn on you in a moment. If they're being used of the enemy will turn them, will get them to be nice to you. And the devils, the same devil will get them to turn on you. Ah, we got him now. We got her now. Yeah, and I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about on this one. And I've been tested in that in more ways than you'll ever know. One of these days, maybe I can talk about it because I would love to. Yes, Jesus is awesome. Hallelujah, it's amazing. When you start learning. You mean if I get in the will of God, I'm going to have struggles? I thought everything should flow smoothly. Well, as soon as Joseph had his dreams, by the way, his two dreams, remember we were talking about sovereignty lately? You know what his two dreams had to do with? You remember what two, when the two were the same? The two dreams he had were the same, had to do with food. Remember his brother's sheaves? We're going to bow down to his sheaves? What's that? It's about food. That was a dream from God. Then the other dream, and there was 11 brothers, 11 sheaves, talking about his 11 brothers. And the other dream was the same meaning. It had the same meaning to it. It had the same interpretation to it. The 11 sheaves were going to bow down to his sheaves, right? All 11 brothers know about it. So in the second dream, the sun and the moon and the stars, 11 stars, they were all going to bow down to him. Same thing. What does that mean? What is dual meaning dreams or dual meaning numbers or dual meaning anything when God gives us supernaturally? What does that mean? Sovereignty. So God was telling Joseph, my sovereign will for you is going to be done whether you like it or not. Let me tell you something. Joseph didn't like it for a while, friend, because he wasn't sure what was wrong. All of a sudden, he has a dream. He says, yeah, God, I agree with that. I agree with your will. Let it be done. Let them all bow down to me. It's going to be amazing. You're going to bless me. Thank you, Jesus. Well, he yielded to the will of the Father, got into the will of God, the good. Well, look what the good will of God did for him. It's not funny, but it's funny because it wasn't me. He got thrown into a, he got betrayed by his 11, by his 10 brothers, at least. The 11th one, I don't think he was big enough to do anything then. But they were all 11 there. Threw him into the pit. Yeah. Sold him out. Hey, Joseph, welcome to the good will of God. How do you like good so far? Does it doesn't seem that good, does it? No, it doesn't seem that good. But what seems good to man usually isn't God. Well, he got in the will of God, nothing but trouble. Got taken off to Egypt. Where the acceptable part of God's will began to work in his life. The 60-fold, 30-60 began to work there at Potiphar's house. He began to find his gifts being used without the approval of his father, without, you know, his father going, oh, yes, everything you do, Joseph, is so wonderful. I mean, there was no everything you do is wonderful. He had to perform right. He had to develop his gifts. He had to develop and train those things that God had given him. And he did it, and he did a great job. And then he got set up. Welcome to phase two, Joseph, of the will of the Father. How do you like this? Now, oh, this boy tried to molest me. And she lied. Got him thrown to prison. Four shift number three, preparing for the 100-fold. Oh, welcome, Joseph, to prison. This is the highest you're moving into from the 60 to the 100-fold while you're here. It's going to be awesome. How do you like it so far, the will of God? Isn't it glorious? Yeah, and more than that, the sovereign will of God. The dual dreams meant sovereignty. And then when he met Pharaoh, finally when he entered into his 100-fold, or to the fulfillment of the whole thing, what happened? Another dream. Another dream. Look at this dream, this dual dream thing. Got dual dreams going on. Dual. He's going back to school. Do. He's no longer a fool. Do. He's learning from the Father. So he goes in, impresses Pharaoh with interpreting his dream. He said, dream, your two dreams. Because he had two dreams. Your two dreams mean the same thing, just in different ways. It's like the dream I had. And it means it's sovereign. It's going to happen whether you want it to or not. Joseph was in the sovereign will of God. He didn't choose that. Who would choose to do what he had to go through? Who would choose that? Nobody would choose that. When God sovereignly picks you, you ever feel like God sovereignly picked you? And all of a sudden you were flung into the will of God with all kinds of things. You wondered where the will of God was. Is this the will of God? I don't know if I want it or not. Welcome to the will of God, Joseph. My brothers and sisters, welcome to the will. Yeah, not my will, but thy will be done. But the sovereign will of God was about to happen. God had chosen Joseph for sovereign will situations, for sovereign will circumstances, for sovereign will and purposes of God. And God sovereignly gave him the interpretation to the dream that would set him up for the 100-fold blessing. That is, crop words, which he thought he would be growing the crops. It ended up that everybody else was growing the crops and bringing the food, and he stored them up and saved the whole world, basically, from famine. Wow, what an amazing thing, the sovereignty of God. 1134 was a sovereign number for me. Amazing. And when you get something sovereign, it changes the way you think about everything. It's no longer, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Well, that's a whole different realm right there, friend. That has nothing to do really with sovereignty. Sovereignty is, it don't matter whether you get right with God or not. This is going to happen. Doesn't matter, Pharaoh, whether you fight it, whatever you do, you can't do anything. Your armies can't stop it. Nobody can stop it. It's sovereign. It will be because God said it will be. You can't have a vote about it. You just need to listen to me, friend. You just need to prepare for it. find Joseph told him you need a person that can prepare, can help you prepare, not fight it, not we want Trump, we want Trump, we want America great again. That's not the sovereign will of God, friend. God's got something much greater going on. Yeah. And I think it's about 2 7-year periods, if you want to know the truth. Maybe a little less than that now. We enter into a sovereignty that the only thing you can do, you can't. It doesn't matter whether America got right with God or didn't get right with God. When God decides to do something sovereignly, it don't matter what you do right or wrong. When God decides to do something, and he says that's the way it's going to be, friend, that's the way it's going to be. Sovereignty is sovereignty. It just happens because it's just time for it to happen. It's just a season for it to happen. There's a purpose in it happening that's bigger than what you can understand. You can't vote it in, and you can't vote it out. You can't give a bunch of offerings and give a bunch of money to change it. You can't sing a bunch of prayers and have a big church and have a million people praying against it to stop it. When the sovereign will of God is working, friend, you have no vote in it at all. It's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if the prophets can't tell you what that is, then they're not prophets. And the prophets we have right now are fighting against the sovereignty of Almighty God. The majority of them. You want to be a part of that? Hasta la vista. Enjoy yourself. Get out there with them. Go get in the boat with them, because when the storm comes, we're going to be walking on the water and they're going to be hanging on the boat going, oh, Jesus, save me. I missed it. Yeah. I know you love some of them. That has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with anything. This is sovereignty, friend. Sovereignty is almost cruel. It's like, well, we did all these things to get right with God, and it's still, when sovereignty is sovereignty, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter. Joseph had no part. He didn't do anything wrong to get thrown out of his family and betrayed by his brothers. It was the sovereign will of God was moving sovereignly. And when God moves sovereignly, get ready for him. Something amazing is about to happen. Something glorious is about to happen. Something that it's so amazing that nobody can stop it, no matter how good they are, no matter how bad they are. God's going to do it because he's choosing that it's time. And when God says it's time, your time and my time, my vote and your vote don't make a hill of beans about anything. So either get prepared and find somebody. I'm going to tell you tonight, just like Joseph told Pharaoh, find you somebody that will help prepare you for what's about to come. Because if they had interpreted the dream properly, the sovereign dream of God, you know what would have happened? They would have been locked out. They would have all died. If they'd have been trying to stop it somehow or another, make Pharaoh great again, make Egypt great again. Oh, yeah, we're not going to resist this. We're going to find some way around it. We're going to fight it every day. We're not going to allow this thing to happen. But God very wisely had Pharaoh telling the right person at the right time, why don't you take it? You seem to be a smart guy. Why don't you prepare us? What should we do? And he says, well, in the 7 years of plenty, gather up, take 5%, put it in grain. My dad used to do, put it in grain elevators, keep it. And then the 7 years of famine, we'll give it out or sell it out or trade it out. And that plan, because of the sovereign move of God, when everybody else would have resisted it, because if you don't understand the signs of the times when they're sovereign, friend, you don't understand the sovereign times of God, you're going to miss it all around. You're going to be standing out there trying to make your own little thing work. Oh, I got my own little thing. God's going to just like look. You're not going to have any protection. You're not going to have any supply when the storm, when the famine begins to hit. You know why? Because you're over there trying to make America great again or make Egypt great again or whatever the heck you want to call it. Joseph was used by God to prepare them properly with the proper understanding of what that sovereign vision meant from the Father. One person, his name was Joseph. God used him. to give the leader of the world information. And it saved the world and bought Egypt for Pharaoh. All because of God using Joseph. Preparation, preparation, preparation. When you're not being prepared, you're going to miss it. You'll die in the famine because there won't be no food stored up anywhere. Because you know what? We had some idiots over there trying to reinterpret, oh, no, that's not what that means. No, that's not the will of God. No, Joseph Biden, he's not going to be president. No, that's not going to happen. No, no, Joe, you know, whatever. I don't want to go there. I'm not sorry, but I might have been. I'd have kept going on that one. Yeah. All right, friend. Let's pray for you tonight. I could go on. Believe me, I could go on and on and on. I got so many things inside me to give and to revelate about that we could literally, when I say some people don't believe me, that I could go on for a good several hours with the information that goes from one level of glory to the next because of what the Father's doing. Randy Chandler knows nothing. It's like Joseph said when Pharaoh said, I heard you're an interpreter of dreams, and Joseph straightened him out right away, very, very respectfully, sir, unless God shows me, I know nothing. And a friend, I guarantee you know what it's like. I'm the same way. If God doesn't show me, I don't know anything. Interpret things right. I don't understand things right. I'll do just like everybody else and mess it completely up. But you know what? When God shows you, sometimes it's going to be against what everybody else is going to be doing because God's doing something sovereign. When sovereignty starts happening, very few people see the sovereign move. Most people don't see the sovereign move of God. All those other people that tried to interpret Pharaoh's dreams couldn't even get close to it, and he knew that what they were saying was a bunch of hogwash. And he was smart enough to find somebody that God had set up to tell him what to do. And thank God he was a humble man. And he did it. And it changed everything. It's amazing stories. These stories, you can't make these stories up, man. I mean, this is amazing. All right, I'm going to stop. Let's get ready to pray for people. Thank God for what the Holy Spirit's doing in PGN. If you're not part of PGN, you're welcome to be. All you do is just call in and listen. That's how you be a part of us, part of PGN. You just call in and listen. And if you want to be a closer part, yeah, it's up to you. There's no begging. There's no pleading. There's no trying to get you to do something. If you can't do it because God's telling you, I don't want you to do it. You don't want to do it because you want to do it. Because God and you are agreeing together and you're doing it because you want to do it, I don't want it. And I mean that literally. Keep it. Keep it. Some people are finding out that I mean exactly what I'm saying. They're finding out I mean exactly what I'm saying. All right. And your source is God. It changes the way you look at everything. I pray that we all keep our eyes on Jesus. All right, let's get ready to pray for you guys tonight. Thank you for being with us. Hopefully you can hear me okay now. I just shifted over into the other microphone. Hopefully you can hear me okay right now. If you can't hear me, let me know, please. And we will... make sure we get it done correctly. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being a part of PGN. Tonight we're going to be prophesying to every person who's called in. Make sure you have me on speakerphone when you tell me your name and what state you're from. If you do that, that would be awesome. And as we take our callers tonight, like I said, we're not going to spend any time talking. So please don't try to jump in and say something unless it's extremely important. All right, let's go here. And my first caller tonight, 202, and then 972 after that, 610 after that, 325 after that,
754 after that. All you got to do is just tell me your first name and what state you're from. That's all I need. All right? You can do that. I would appreciate it. Even if I know who you are, don't make me guess your name and all that. Most people already know what we're talking about. Just give me your name, what state you're from, please, and we will go from there. All right? All right. And, okay, 610 and then 325, then 754, 984, 847, 803, 863, 920, 585, 831. No, that's it. 585. So 585 is the last one. The rest of you don't have your phone up, your hand up. All right. 831, you don't have your phone. You don't have your hand up. 682, you don't have your hand up. 608, you don't have your hand up. 402, you don't have your hand up. 478, you don't have your hand up. And 111, you don't have your hand up. Okay. Just letting you know in case you don't know that. All right, let's go here and start praying. All right, 202-722, who am I talking to right now, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
All right, Nicole, thank you. All right, Nicole from Washington, D.C., we thank you, Jesus. For Nicole, we thank you, Lord, for the command realm, God. You're giving her, teaching her how to, you know, once you know the will of the Father, Nicole, then sometimes we have to, you know, like Pharaoh had to do, he had to go in, he had a word from God, right? Once you get a word from God, then you go in and you command that Pharaoh let his people go. And so that's kind of what we do. And I see you learning how to walk in that. The command, we don't command something that we think we want because that just falls on deaf ears. And you know, Moses was very concerned about that because he was going like, you know, I'm going to go there, God, but who do I tell them sent me? I mean, you know, they're not going to listen to me. They don't listen to anybody. They're not going to listen to me. How are they going to listen to me? And he told them how they're going to listen. He gave him the rod to throw down there. He put his hand in his pocket and pulled it out, and it was leprosy, and put it back in his heel. You know, he gave him the signs and wonder realm. And once God gives you the signs and wonder realm, and he says, you're going to go in there, he's going to harden his heart, but I'm going to use the hardening of his heart to do some mighty miracles, to show myself mighty to my people, and to show Egypt that there's no other God beside me, right? That was his purpose, according to Scripture. But so Moses went in there with the command of the Lord. He walked in there and he didn't say, would you please let my people go? Oh, please. No, he says, thus saith the Lord thy God, you know, that Moses voice, let my people go. You know? And, of course, you know, depending on what's going on, sometimes Pharaoh would say, okay, and then he would change his mind, and it went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And God's going to show you the purposes of why he hardens hearts and why he doesn't allow things to happen when they're going to happen, when they're supposed to happen, when we think they're supposed to happen. You know, so he's going to show you all that and show you the command of the Lord like Moses commanded. And sometimes when we command, even though God has told us to command, sometimes like when Moses' situation, Moses commanded Pharaoh to let the people go. He was the head. He was the head of the nation. He was the head. If he said, let them go, then they had to go. And they could go. He didn't go to all the underlings, and he went to the head macho, and that was it. So, you know, and then he would command, and then that command would create a move of God. In other words, he would command, and Pharaoh would say, no, I'm not going to let it happen. He said, well, then by this time tomorrow. So the command came. The enemy said no. The enemy said no, or Pharaoh said no, and then came the work of God, the move of God, the things of God, to begin the process. So just because we command doesn't mean that it's all going to happen at once. Because it's like people have asked me, you know, people come on the show and they say, well, you know, we keep up with what people are saying about you, and what, you know, or they don't mention my name, but they know who they're talking about. There's only one person talk like that about Biden. And they say, well, you know, how come they haven't stopped merchandising, Randy? How come they haven't stopped merchandising yet? They should be stopping. And I'm going like, yeah, so should a Pharaoh. But sometimes God hardens their heart. And how many times did it take for Pharaoh to let go? Almost the whole destruction of Egypt.
you know? And so, you know, and yet God was involved in all of it. And so sometimes God hardens heart. So when I see these brothers, especially in my realm, the prophet realm, when they, you know, start, you know, fighting you and trying to do just the opposite of what you're doing, and think because they got all the numbers, they got all the people and all the money and all the, quote, TV stations and authority, that they're going to win, you know, because they got the numbers. Then the command, once God gives a word, his word, it starts a transaction going on. And God begins to plague the people that are resisting, you know. Yeah. So anyway, I could go on and on with that. That's an amazing revelation. But God's going to show you the command. Sometimes the command isn't necessarily right away for it to happen. Sometimes the command of let my people go starts the process. It hardens Pharaoh's heart. And then there's a process where God uses the hardening of his heart to do some wonders and signs for the purpose of showing himself mighty. I know what I just said, but I don't know how it applies or what's going on. But I saw the word command, and God's showing you that just because we command things, it doesn't always mean that, just like with Moses finally gets impatient with God and says, you know, God, you know, how come, you know, you're not really doing anything. I'm commanding him to let us go. And he said, well, didn't I tell you I was going to harden his heart? He goes, oh, yeah, that's right. Which sure is causing a lot of problem, because now all of a sudden they're making them make bricks with less. And now they can make their own straw. Before they got straw brought to them, now they got to go collect the straw and make bricks and do the same amount of work. Man, that's not working less and making more. That's for sure. There's no blessing in that. What's wrong, God? And God goes, yeah, I'm doing something. I'm doing something. So we got to be able to see what God is doing once we confront and so-called, so to speak, command, what God says command. Not what we say command, but what God says command. All right, anyway, there you go. All right, 972-695. Let me talk to your friend, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha. And we also have a special prayer request for Zai.
Okay. For who?
Zai.
Zai as in Z-I?
It was Z-I-A-H.
Oh, okay. Well, I was close.
Yeah, you were.
Just because you can spell and I can't doesn't mean anything, you know. Okay, Zai. But that's how you say it, huh? Zai, Z-I-A-H? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Zai. So I'm saying it right, Zai. Not Zaya, but Zai.
Right.
All right, because the way you spell it, it don't sound like Zai to me. So you're making up something somewhere here. I'm messing with you. Okay, I got to get off before I start playing, want to have fun. And, you know, I'm such a serious person. The people don't know that I'm extremely serious. But ever since I saw Jesus laughing, it's like part of me, little by little, took years to do it, but part of me started enjoying him more. And so I find myself, you know, having to stop myself from having fun. That's not the way it used to be at all. Anyway, so Zai, we're going to pray for Zai. All right, we pray for Zai. God, we thank you there's something, somebody's having trouble with their hips, H-I-P-S, their hips. I don't know if this is Zai or somebody else listening to me right now, but I just got like hips, like something about hips, something with the hips. Maybe that part of the body or something. I don't know who that is. If that's someone listening tonight, you're having trouble with your hips. I've had a little problem with my hips at times. You know, you get little nerve things going in there, causes pain or whatever. I'm not sure what the deal is, but somebody's having a problem with that. And so right now, I pray a miracle for you. I pray healing for you. I pray deliverance for you. I pray a suiting of the whatever that's going on, the healing that you need right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. The hip area, and, you know, sometimes the back can have something to do with that. That makes the hips, you know, the nerves in the hip, and it could be a nerve thing. More than just the hip thing, could be a nerve thing that's being touched. So whoever that is, I speak healing to you in Jesus' name. And over Zai, God, I pray with Zai, God. I pray that Zai will not succumb to, you know, any kind of pride or any kind of, you know, because Zai, there's going to be some amazing gifts that in Zai that God's going to activate inside. Maybe they're already being activated. I don't know. I don't know who Zai is. But so Zai's going to go through some things to where, you know, as a supernatural part of God begins to move into their life, that there's going to be some pride. You know, anything that happens, we deal with pride. I've dealt with pride. I still deal with pride. I think I've got a lot of pride, actually. But God's always helped me with my pride. But so there's the pride issues to where we don't succumb to and fall prey to pride. And like Paul the Apostle had, was given a thorn in the flesh because, you know, he had so much knowledge. He had so much revelation from God that the pride thing was going to be an issue with him. And so, you know, God gave him a thorn. So I don't know what's going on with Zai, but I thank you, Lord, for Zai. I thank you, Lord, for comforting Zai. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to Zai, that when he, as Zai, yields his life to Jesus, yields his life to God Almighty, that, number one, there's an amazing purpose for him. I feel the power of God going through my left arm right now and my left shoulder. The power of God's going through my left arm and shoulder right now. I don't know why, my upper arm especially. Something's happening right there. There's something being released right there. There's some kind of an anointing that God wants to pour out on Zai. And so the enemy's going to try to destroy him. The enemy's going to try to, the enemy's going to try to bring destruction to Zai. So we pray for protection. We pray that anything Zai is being tempted with to deceitfully to walk away from God in any fashion or form or compromise, that all that gets turned around, God, that you open up Zai's eyes to see what's really going on and how you want to use Zai for your will, for your purposes, with an anointing on his life, God, to where you use him to comfort people with true comfort and bring blessing to Zai. In Jesus' name, open up the blindness of Zai's eyes, God. Open up the blindness. The blind eyes. Let the blind eyes be opened in Jesus' name. Let that eye rim. Because there's something with Zai that the enemy's going to try to blind him from things, because he's going to be there's a seer inside of Zai that is hidden, and God's going to reveal it and make it known. And so open that up, Jesus, and bring protection and bring your glory and bring your honor and protect Zai from pride, because I got a feeling that there's some really great things that God's going to do as I get his eyes open to, you know, the higher levels of who God is and what God is in Jesus' name. So Satan, you're a liar. Loosen him and let him go in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And over Terrence and Tanisha, we pray for Terrence tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for Terrence. God, I thank you for all the different doors you're going to open in his life. God, that it's not just one door or two doors, but it's many different doors. And when God opens up doors for you, Terrence, it's going to be doors, not the A door, not like a door. A door opens up to another door, but I see doors being opened up, doors like doors. And sometimes they're going to open up all at once. Sometimes maybe two or three of them are going to open up all at once, and you're going to be going like, okay, this is a little more than I can handle. Jesus, help me, and God teaching you how to. Teaching you how to deal with too much, deal with too much, exceeding abundantly, to deal with too much. When things are too much, when the burden's too much, when things are too much. That's what happened with Paul the Apostle. Things came on him, and it was too much, more than he could bear. So God gave him grace. God gave him grace. God gave him favor and taught him how to deal with much. And how to cast those cares on him because of the abilities God's put in you, Terrence. You know, God sometimes has to overwhelm you to bring you into that place where, you know, other people can have one or two doors open up and they just like really struggle with those one or two doors. They struggle with one door being open. Oh my God, I can't hardly handle it. But you know, with you, it's going to take like more doors opening up to overwhelm you, so that trust of God and that depending on the grace of God becomes a thing that God has to do almost to keep you overwhelmed so that you're always, you know, having to seek him, always having to look to him, always having to acknowledge him, learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. And so, yeah. So, you know, most people fail with abundance because when they get in abundance, they start thinking they can handle it. But God overwhelmed Paul with so much. He said every time he turned around, something was going on. Oh, my God, not that. Oh, no, not that. Oh, yeah, yeah, that. And then not just bad things, but good things. Sometimes he had so much good things going on. I mean, he's raising people. He's got all kinds of things going on. There's so many blessings are going on with him. He walked in a higher realm. He probably walked in the 60-fold realm, heading toward the 100-fold, because he had a lot of persecution, a lot of troubles, like we talked about tonight, walking in the will of God. When you walk in the 100-fold, you're going to walk in persecution. That's what the Bible says. It comes with persecution, and I mean persecution. So he's teaching you how to handle persecution. He's teaching you how to handle struggles and battles. He's going to teach you how to handle wealth and blessings without getting caught up in entangled with it and letting it snare you. And so that's a beautiful thing. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, God, for the ability in her to step out of the boat and walk on the water, to just step out of the boat and walk on the water. Except I see you many times trying to get other people to walk with you. Like, come on, get out of the boat with me. Get out of the boat with me. And Lord says, that's a good thing. But what he wants to use you for is instead of trying to get other people to get out of the boat, which is a good notion and a good thing, is to be an example of walking on the water, learning how to walk, how to step out of the boat and walk in the water, and learning how to do that, to be an example for that. So it's more about being an example of it. And when you're an example of it, you're not going to have to turn around and say, come on, y'all. People are going to go, oh, well, she does it, then I can do it. Because the way she presents it to me, the way I see it, that I'm learning what she's learning. She's teaching me, just like Jesus. Jesus didn't keep the higher secrets to himself and just give the lower secrets to the disciples. He said, man, I'm going to tell you guys everything. I'm going to teach you everything. I'm not going to selfishly keep anything myself. That's what I can do, you can do too. So that spirit that you have about you, where you're willing to share the knowledge that to save people years of failure and problems and mistakes, you're going to teach people how to walk in the water as an example. And that example, God's going to it's more of being an example than it is about trying to get people to come on, get on the water with me. The Lord says, just focus on walking on it, and they're watching you. And they're watching you, and when they watch you, they're going to go, yeah, okay, well, and since she's the example you're putting before me, and I see if she's teaching, she's not holding things back, she's telling me everything she knows about how to do this, that I can trust her, and that freedom and that freely giving of the bread of God. You know, it's what's going to bless you, Tanisha, is giving it freely, without tying strings, without obligating, freely giving everything you have to God's people, and being the example, is what's really going to bless you. Just like Jesus, when he took the bread and broke it and gave it away, didn't sell it, he broke the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and, you know, therefore they prospered too, they got blessed. So, amen. God's going to teach you how to break bread, bless it, and give it out, and watch it increase and multiply. Amen. And the increase and multiply is going to, when it comes back, like they 5 loaves, 2 fish, and they blessed it and broke it, and they fed around 20,000 people or more with that. It came back 12 baskets full. And so what's going to happen is God's going to bring back to you, it's going to come back to you with 12 baskets full. Right, because you freely gave and you freely shared. Amen. All right, 610-960-969, whatever that is. 610.
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa from PA. I got prayer last night, so if you wouldn't mind, could you pray for Andre, and then I'll record it and let him listen to it?
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. All right. All right, Lord, thank you for Andre tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for Andre. Thank you, Lord, showering him. I see him being showered. Like, I don't know if he's taking a shower, literally, and God is starting to shower him and do a deep cleansing in him, like a lot of the pain he suffered a lot of the things he's had, like they're stuck inside him and they can't get out of him. Because it's, you know, sometimes when things are so deep and when you're locked up and you're locked in and you can't hardly, you know, you're not in a place where you're out in the free world doing whatever you want to do. Sometimes you can, you're able to see on the inside and feel, you can feel on the inside more so than you would if you were running around out free in the world. You can feel. So that those feelings that are so deep, I see God just showering you with love and approval, love and approval, knowing that, like Randy Chandler, you're a sinner just like Randy Chandler. You just got busted, man, and I didn't. And I don't know why, but you know what? I see God showering you with comfort, showering you with cleansing, showering you with the washing of the water of the word, of the things that have been inside you that really just like the sins of the fathers, passed down through the genetic realm that we get caught up into, because the passions and the desires that we have, they get passed down from us in through the bloodline. God knows that is the reason for a lot of things that you've done, a lot of things that you've been a part of. And therefore, even though you're guilty of it, but you were guilty of it because that guilt was passed down through your bloodline, that shame, that iniquity, that infirmity, that thing inside you that caused you to, you know, do those things was you were born with that in you. And when you grew up, it grew up in you. And then you found yourself doing things. And God's going to show you that he doesn't hold you accountable, you know, for that, even though you did it, even though you did those things, you know, but to say the things that you did, and even if things that nobody ever knew about, you didn't get busted for. God knows all those things. But you know what? He's just saying, man, you know, just come to the cross of Calvary and ask forgiveness. And I will bless you in a way that just as if you never did those things. Because if you hadn't had that bloodline passed down to you, you probably wouldn't have done some of the things that you did. Everybody's a sinner, but some of the sin things that you've done and opened yourself up to, you know, he's going to say, I'm not going to hold you accountable for that. That's what justified means. The Bible says we've been justified through the grace of God, through the resurrection of Christ. We've been justified. Justified means, my brother, that just as if you never did it. And even though we all did it, or at least most of it, you know, he breaks that darkness up, that pain, that thing up, and he washes it away with the showers of God's mercies and his refreshing power of his love. It just washes away. It's just you're just like going, man, you know, I didn't do that. Even though we know we did some stuff, I didn't really do that. Why? Because God's gonna say, just as if you never did it. When you bring it to me, I'm gonna cleanse it and wash it, and before me, it's just as if you never did it. And then as you learn to walk in that just as if you never did it, even though Paul the Apostle said, you know, I never forget what manner of man that I was. I've been forgiven of it. I'm moving on. I'm a brand new man. And as you walk as a brand new man, my brother, you're going to find that those iniquities, those things passed down from your fathers, that are going to be cleansed and washed from you and give you great joy and peace. And you're going to find yourself, you know, oh, my gosh, just like Paul the Apostle. He was locked up in prison, too. You know, for God. And all of a sudden he started writing. And I see you writing your pain, writing your sorrow, writing your joy, writing the things down that you've learned and like a diary and writing them down like Paul the Apostle did. And Paul the Apostle realized he was locked up because he was going to write most of the New Testament. Yeah. So when you start seeing the purpose for it, just like Joseph had to see the purpose of his imprisonment, which was he was not guilty of, you know, And he started seeing the purpose of it. God was getting him positioned, even though a lot of this stuff was unjust that happened to him, totally unjust, just like with you. Things have happened unjustly. With Joseph, the same thing. And yet he was not guilty of anything. He was a very good man, a lot better than me. And yet he was locked up in prison. And yet he found purpose in that. God trained him and showed him. He's like Paul the Apostle. And he found purpose in his imprisonment. And then as he found purpose in it, then, of course, you know, eventually Joseph got out and fulfilled his purpose, the greater purpose of God. So that's what's going to happen to you, brother. All right, 325-280, let me talk to you where you're from, please.
Chris from Texas.
All right, my brother Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that destroys yokes. The Bible talks about, you know, we talk about this in the Old Testament where, you know, when God sent the destroyer, the angel, you know, the angel that came down into Egypt and even into Israel, where Israel was in Egypt, and because they had the blood of the doorpost, the destroyer whom God sent to destroy, God was destroying God. He was destroying the power and the belief of false gods. That's what he was doing. He was destroying that. And so the last plague brought the angel, the destroyer angel, down. And the destroyer angel was from God. And so, so we have to realize that the destroyer part of God, and there is a destroyer part of God, is angels that are destroyers, right? Killed all the firstborn. Didn't have anybody that had the blood of the doorpost. He killed the firstborn of the males in the family and killed the firstborn of the animals. And very destructive. And there was not a house in Egypt. And there were millions of houses in Egypt. There was not one house that didn't have at least one dead person in it. Right? What was that? That was the destroyer. The Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. And God wants you, my brother, to learn about the destroyer part of God. That is there to protect. That is there to deal with things that hinder your purpose, that destroy, that yoke destroying anointing that the Bible talks about is there to destroy yokes, to obliterate them so that they never come up again, so that they never come back around again. Because when he destroys them forever. That's what destroying means. He totally obliterates them to where they cannot come back. God doesn't want you to keep fighting the same battles over and over again. He wants to destroy the enemy in those areas, destroy those genetic codes of whatever it would be, the connections to anything that's not the will, the things that are not the will of God. The destroyer, the anointing in you is going to destroy those things, and the glory of God is going to bring deliverance and bring you, because of what the destroyer does, it enabled Israel to come out and go into their own homeland, where they could have their own houses, where they could have their own things from God. And that's the destroyer is the one that had a major role in that. And so God wants you to understand, Chris, that the anointing that destroys the yoke, without that part of God, you'll never be able to abide in your homeland and be blessed in the land of the giants, so to speak, in the land of, really, in their case, Israel. So God's going to teach you about the destroyer, and it's going to be very powerful, very amazing, if you watch God destroy the things that try to destroy you, or not just destroy you, that come after, but the things that try to stop you from entering into your promises. That there's actually a destroyer from God, it's that, called the anointing, and sometimes an angel, that does a work and tears down the strategies and the realms of darkness and try to stop things from happening. Amen. God's going to show you that and teach you how to understand it and activate that. All right. 754-24. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Yeah, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, all right, Donald and Tanya from Florida. All right. Thank you, God, for Donald and Tanya. God, I thank you, God, for Donald. God, I thank you, Jesus, that this, you know, the two-edged sword, the double-edged sword. Let's go there and look at that scripture for a second. The two-edged sword. Let's go here. Let me look this up. I don't know where I'm going with this. The double-edged sword. Right. Okay, let's go here. All right, the double-edged sword. I'm reading something I'm getting from the internet here. What does double-edged sword mean? Literally, a double-edged sword is a sword that has two sharpened edges. Figuratively, figuratively, double-edged swords refer to something that has both good and bad consequences. When you're wielding a double-edged sword, how am I going here? When you're wielding a double-edged sword, you have to be careful that you don't cut yourself when you're trying to swing it at an opponent. Such a sword can be helpful in striking your opponent and harmful if you strike yourself. Okay, if something is a double-edged sword, it will help you or be good for you, but will also most likely hurt you if you have harmful costs. I don't know what that's saying. Okay, my new car is a double-edged sword, getting me to work, but costing me a lot of money in gas and insurance. Okay. I don't really like that information right there. Let's go to another one here. All right, double-edged sword. Let's go here and see what it says here. All right, saying back the same thing. You know, let me look at the scripture here. I'm trying to find the scripture on this. All right, where's the scripture? There we go. Okay. Okay, here we go. I'm a little slow, but I'm going to get it. Hebrews 4:12. This is all totally spontaneous. That's why this comes out like this. For the word of God is alive and active. See, this is what I don't understand why they're saying that. It's alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So it's always good when you get scripture going on here. Hebrews 4:12, the International Version, New International Version. And so let's look at that for a second. It may take me a second to go through here, but I'm going to take my time. Hebrews 4:12, give me a second. Okay, Hebrews 4. All right, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Another version here, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, which has nothing to do with what I just read from that, which tells you how messed up a thing can be. Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. All right, English Standard Version. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so, so what I'm seeing here with this is that like God is saying, that this whole thing of cutting through all the stuff of, what religion has to do with things and what God's really saying. What God is really saying, what the religious people are saying, and God really showing you and dividing out and going, but sometimes it all gets all jumbled together, Donald, as you know, it gets all jumbled together, But God is going to use you, and you're going to be a part of this thing, where God's going to make it very plain what He's saying, very plain what He's doing, and it's going to be a sharp difference between what other people are saying, and God's going to take you to the. To the quick of what's going on, piercing, even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. In other words, motives and intentions and the things that people have and the intentions of the heart and the intentions of, what people say they're doing and what they're really doing, and God beginning to show you kind of like what they're really heading toward. You can see like, okay, they're saying this, but this is really where they're going with it. And so piercing, this piercing power of the Lord, dividing us under soul and spirit. and the joints and marrows and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's also that discernment level, which I just said really is discerning between, you know, what's really God, what's religion. This whole thing to me right now is about what are the religious people saying? You know, they love God, but they're not flowing in the sovereignty realm of God. They're flowing in the, you know, we can work this thing, we can make this thing happen, we can change things, we can do things. But when God says I'm going to do something, and you're trying to change that, then what are you doing? So God is going to show you how to, you know, the difference between like the sovereign will of God and things that can be changed. Sometimes when God says there's going to be something going on, like our teaching tonight, this is what's going to happen. God confirmed it with Joseph. Whether you like it or not, I'm taking you down this road. You know, you're going down this road. I'm going to take you to Egypt. You don't know it, but it's my sovereign will. And I gave you two dreams to confirm that to you. And then I let you meet with Pharaoh, and he had two dreams. And those two dreams and your two dreams are connected. They're both sovereign. So you have a double sovereignty going on, where God says, I'm doing the sovereign. So God's going to really start showing you how that we're walking in a sovereign realm. We're walking in a sovereign place right now, and it's different than any other time we've walked in. God has chosen to do it. It doesn't make any sense. And being able to discern and cut in between, you know, okay, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why this is going on. My life doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes sense. Because when you walk in this, when you're called to walk in the sovereign realm, brother, it doesn't make any sense. Joseph didn't do anything wrong to be thrown in prison. He was accused. He didn't do anything wrong, really, for his brothers to want to kill him. They were going to kill him, get rid of him. He didn't do anything that bad. I mean, he was pretty young and foolish, but he didn't do anything worthy of that. And yet nothing made sense. Why? Because the sovereign will of God was moving him to a place that gave him, he had no choice in the matter. He didn't get to vote. He didn't get to say, okay, I vote against that, God. I want to stay here and live with my daddy. I love my daddy. I'm sorry. You're called. You're chosen. It's over. Some people can choose, you know, what they want to do. But, you know, people can choose to be in the ministry or not in the ministry or call them in. You can choose to do or not do that. But with some people, it's like you get plunged into something and there's not much you can do about it. You're called. You're chosen. That's it. You don't even have a choice. And guess what? It's going to be great. You may suffer some things. You may suffer some things you don't understand. But all that I understand is because it's the sovereign will of God. The sovereign purposes of God are being done in you. And sovereignty doesn't make any sense and has no reason about it. There's no reasoning about that, right? So God's going to show you. And that double-edged sword is going to cut in between and start showing you, you know, the difference between sovereignty and things that are not sovereign, things that we can choose or not choose. But once God chooses it and it's sovereign, that's it. He's going to show you the difference on that. So I don't know how good I did on that one, but I think I did okay. I think I landed okay on that one. But and so God showing you how to walk in that, and sometimes because you haven't understood why. Joseph did the same thing. Joseph spent a lot of his time, Donald, going why, and God wanted him to ask why. It wasn't a bad thing. He wanted him to ask why, and because he was asking why, you know, God worked with that and kept him seeking him and keeping his eyes on him, like, okay, God, I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense, but something, so I know you're with me. I know you're, and that's what Joseph, you have the same thing with you. I know that you, and this is what you do. And Joseph was the same way. He said, I don't know why all this stuff is happening to me, but somehow I know it's going to work out somehow because it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, okay, God, I'm sticking with you. I'm going with you, God. I'm going with you. This doesn't make any sense. I'm being abused. I'm being mistreated. I mean, whatever, lied about. You know what? No way. I'm going with you, God, because you're doing something in the midst of all this stuff. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And using Donald as a two-edged sword, using him as a two-edged sword to deal with that realm in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And Tanya, thank you, Lord, for Tanya. God, we thank you for the consciousness, for her consciousness of being consciously aware of things. Her conscience, you're dealing with her in the conscious realm where she's, you know, what when she does something that she doesn't feel like right, her conscience bothers her. But when she does, she things bother her. And that's the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, Tanya. That's God. He's sensitizing you. He's made you really sensitive, and you're very consciously aware of, you're not necessarily doing a sin, you know, of just like did I do right before you got? Did I do it right? You know, and if you didn't, you're conscious. You know, like somebody else wouldn't even care about it. Like, I did anything wrong, so what's wrong with all that? But with you, it's like, I'm consciously aware of, you know, whether I'm obeying my father or not, whether I'm doing what my daddy wants me to do or not. And it's like my conscience bothers me, you know, when I'm not doing it. So your conscience by the Holy Spirit is being used to bring you to a place of, you know, asking God what's right and wrong, not what people think what's right and wrong. Because most of the time people can only see, like in Job's situation, all his friends, they couldn't see what was going on. So they misguided him. They oppressed him, really, with their stuff. And so he had to trust in God, to go to God. Say, God, you know, I don't know, though you slay me, yet I'm going to praise you because I trust you. I believe in you. You know, I'm constantly aware of if I do something wrong, and these guys are saying I've done something wrong, had to be for all this stuff to happen to me. And say, God, I know. My conscience tells me I haven't done anything wrong before you, and I'm right with you. So whatever they're saying, you know, I don't know. So God eventually said, go forgive them, Job, and I'll bless you double. So God has made you aware of that, that consciousness of God, and he's going to use it to you be obedient in God's eyes, not just in people's eyes. But your consciousness is a God consciousness, not just a human being and being right with people, you know, but being right with God. And when you're right with God, then God tells you how to get right with people if you're supposed to do that indeed. All right? Awesome. All right. All right, 984, that's a battle feeling that one. I don't know what's going on. It was awesome. We came through. All right, 984-277, who am I talking to, where you from, please? All right, 984-277. Take me off mute if you have me on mute, or I can't hear you if you're trying to talk to me. 984, are you there? All right, 984-277. I don't know who you are, but
Lamont from North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Lamont. Okay. Nice to have you, Lamont. All right. Thank you very much.
Hi.
All right. Thank you. You're doing good. Good to have you tonight. All right. We're not talking tonight, as you probably know. We're just ministering to people, Lamont. All right, Lamont. Thank you, Jesus, for Lamont. God, I thank you for the consideration, how he considers you. He considers others. He considers the will of God in everything. Like, what am I doing? Am I doing the will of God? You're the considering part of you. There's always something in you that considers, you know, other people, considers, you know, God. So that considering part of you is basically to consider, you know, what God has and is what God's involved in. You're considering. Let me look at the word considering here. Exactly. All right, considering here, taking something into consideration, in view of consideration of the circumstances. taking a specific thing into consideration in view of the fact that, you know, in view of the fact that, considering that he was the youngest of the field, he played well. Okay, so God's shown you how to consider things, how to consider circumstances, the things that you're into, the consideration realm that you live in, and opening you up to how to consider things, how to think about things, how to factor in things, careful thought. Consideration means careful thought, typically over a period of time. And God really giving you an ability to think things through, to how to consider things, careful thought. Kind of what consider means, a matter of weighing and taking into account when formulating an opinion or a plan. And so God's showing you how to reason with him. The Bible, we talk about this often on, the Bible says, come and reason with me. When you reason with God, you don't reason from an intellectual, non-biblical view, right? You consider everything. You reason out things according to the Bible, according to the Word of God. And so God really showing you, you know, how to do that, how to consider, I'm going to do this. What do I look to? What do I think about? What's the thought process that I go through to come up with the answer? Is this the will of God, or is it my will? What's going on? And God's showing you that he's giving you this thing that you check yourself and go, okay, am I doing what God wants me to do? And you're always considering what God thinks about it. And he's moving you from considering what people think about it to what God thinks about it. And when you consider what God's thinking about it first, then he may bring some people to say, hey, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And so, you know, they can help you sometimes. But as long as your consideration and what you're thinking about and how you reason things out is God first and giving you a God first realm of considering things, of thinking things through, of reasoning things out, as you do that, then you're going to find yourself in a lot less trouble and a lot less having to redo things. And because I see that you had to redo things a few times, you know, and nothing wrong with that, because God gives us plenty of chances to redo things. He gives us plenty of opportunity, because he knows we're not perfect and we don't know everything. And so I see God really, you know, showing you how to do that and walk with that so that you can make decisions, you know, that are godly. Like, some things are real obvious scripture. Some things are not. Some things are not, are really not real, real obvious in the Bible. And so we have to get the Holy Spirit to, you know, show us how to weigh out things. And so God's given you a voice that he wants to be heard. And so he's teaching you how to, you know, weigh out things in life, how to consider things, you know, how to do it biblically and with God and seeking God first in your considerations. And as you do that, everything else is going to be added to you. He'll add things to you that you, I see God adding things to you for your blessing, for your benefit, that you weren't even asking for that. I see God giving you things you're not even asking for, because you're, the way you're learning how to consider him first, consider the will of God, you know, reasoning with God and according to scripture, and reasoning with God according to the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, and you start seeking first the kingdom of God in the way he thinks, then God's just going to start adding things to you, man. I see him just adding things to you. I mean, giving you things, like you ask for 50 or something, he's going to give you 100 of them. You ask for $50, he's going to give you $100. You ask for $5,000, he's going to give you $10,000. You know what I'm saying? It's like I see him just adding to you, showing his approval with you, because you're stopping to consider what the Father thinks about it. Everybody else has told me what to do, but what do you say, Father? And then if I don't really know clearly what to do from him, he shows me how to reason out biblically how to do things. And therefore, you know, blessings follow me instead of always having to fix things and change things and spend all my time redoing things. All right? You're going to save you a lot of time, a lot of trouble, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 847-239. I'm going to talk to you, Reverend, please.
That's Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Stephanie, God, for the power suggestion, Lord. I thank you. You're teaching Stephanie how to deal with the power of suggestion. You know, sometimes the enemy will use the power of suggestion to suggest things, to get us to think about things that he doesn't, that are not right, that are not the will of God, and how to not do what. What he's suggesting, you know, the thing that he's suggesting to you, suggestions, and God's going to show you all the different strategies of how the enemy and how the flesh and how the world is always trying to get us to do what it wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do. And God's starting to show you how to look at the signs that he's given you on how to do what he wants you to do. Because God does send suggestions and recommendations and things, you know, into our life. And so, but so does the enemy and so does the world. So God's showing you how to yield to God's suggestions, God's convictions, God's drawing you, and God's showing you ways how to do things. And so, you know, he doesn't make us do things, Stephanie, but he like I had a friend of mine once many years ago before I went to Christ the Nation said, have you ever considered going to Christ for the Nation? They didn't say, you need to go, thus saith the Lord. You need to go to Christ for the Nation. You go to your school. I said, I don't really, yeah, I thought about going. But so I realized that was the Lord's way of suggesting something for me to do. And I thought, you know what? And I did it, and I'm glad I did it. And God used Christ for the Nations to bring you to a whole other level. So sometimes God doesn't command you to do something. He'll just suggest you to do something. And so does the world. The world does the same thing. And God's trying to show you how to protect your mind and protect your heart from the suggestions of the world that try to get us to, you know, think along some thoughts that we shouldn't be thinking about and going down a road we shouldn't be going down, you know, because the enemy is very tricky and showing us. So God's showing you how to get caught up into the word, how to get caught up into worship, and how to listen to him. And I see you also, like David did with Goliath, I see you like with a word from the Lord in your hand or something, a stone, a smooth stone in your hand, and you pull it out of your purse or out of your bag. David pulled it out of his bag, and see you pulling a stone, like a rock, out of your bag, out of your purse, and running at Goliath and saying, "How dare you?" What did he say? That really, what's the wording on that? How dare you defy the armies of the living God? And so David was more minded toward the fact that the intimidations and the suggestions that Goliath was making, like, you know, come out here and fight me, you cowards. You know, he was trying to intimidate with suggestion and all those kind of things, trying to push fear on people. And it was working, except it didn't work with David. It's like, it's not going to work with you. And I see you pulling a stone out of your purse and running toward him and say, "How dare you defy in the armies of the living God?" And and running toward Goliath, toward that fear, toward that intimidation, and taking that thing down by the word of the Lord, by the word God gives you about the fear, by the word God gives you about how not to, you know, listen to those thoughts and those, because that's all that Goliath was doing, was planting seeds into the thoughts of Israel, and it worked, and they were all in fear. They were already in fear. He already had them. He had them by fear. He had them stopped by fear. He had them defeated by fear. Fear will defeat you and without you doing anything, just by the thoughts being sent your way. But God says, "I've given you a smooth stone, a rock, an understanding of God's word that is not rough, you know, but it is smooth and cool and refined." And I see God working that in you, that when you throw that rock at the enemy, God guides it right between his eyes and takes down fear and intimidation. In Jesus' name, amen. And then cutting his head off and finishing him off. Finish off. God's going to show you how to finish off fear in your life. Just finish it off. Finish it off. Yeah. And David took the sword of Goliath and cut his own head off. And totally that fear could never intimidate Israel again, or David or anybody else. Amen. All right. I never know why I'm saying what I'm saying. Always, you know, sometimes it's for now, sometimes it's for tomorrow. Get ready. God's going to show you. All right, 863-268. You want to talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Nikki from Florida.
Oh, hey, Nikki. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki tonight. Thank you, Lord, I see the camera on you or something, a camera on you or some kind of a camera or some kind of a, I don't know what that is, but like recording something or documenting something. You know, I see a documentation of some sort being done of, you know, I don't know what that is, but in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for the miracle realm, God, and the documentation realm, and documenting things and getting things out there, on record. And thank you, Jesus, for opening that up, God, and giving Nikki, the power of that testimony in Jesus' name. So that, and the power of cameras and the power of documenting things is to share with others. So there's a purpose that God's doing in you that he wants to share with others. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up, where you're bringing her to that place to where she has things that need to be documented, things that need to be shared, and things that need to be brought up to the world, to the community of the body of Christ. And in Jesus' name, and open up that door, Father, for her to be able to document and bring forth. Because the whole thing about recording things and getting video or whatever it is or something is to share it with others, right? And so I thank you, Lord, for that opening door for her to be able to share with others in Jesus' name what you've done in her and through her, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For Charles, God, we thank for Charles. Thank you, Lord, for closing doors. I see God closing some doors. Do I do this door or that door? So I see God closing some doors to keep him from having to, you know, concern himself about things that do I go that direction or not? And I see God closing some doors on that so that he doesn't even have to deal with that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, and for opening doors that no man can shut, Father, and the doors that God has opened, no man can shut those doors. You know, as long as we're like the 10 wise virgins, we got plenty of oil, and we're ready, we're obeying God. If we're living in a realm of obedience with God, that's having plenty of oil. That's being ready. Your obedience keeps you ready. So I thank you, Lord, for staying ready, being ready. And when the opportunity comes, you know, you just walk into it. You know, you don't have to let go on, you know, am I going to miss it? No. If you're walking in obedience, you're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it in Jesus' name. All right. All right. 585-436. Can I talk to you where you're from, please?
Hi, it's Anonymous.
Hi, Anonymous. Okay. All right, Anonymous. Thank you, Jesus, for Anonymous. Thank you, Lord, for the prayer of the righteous, the prayer of a righteous woman. Availeth much, and God's showing you that about the prayer realm. About I see you entering into another prayer realm of righteous prayer. Righteous prayer is, you know, the prayers of a righteous woman or a righteous person. It's one who when God shows you something, you do it. It's not necessarily being biblically right as much as it is because the Bible can approach things in many different ways. We only come to God through one way, through Christ Jesus, but there's many ways that God has us, you know, to do things. And so doing it the right way, the righteous prayer is God giving you the way to go about it and praying that prayer and that prayer being answered. God's not going to answer a prayer or something that we decide we think we want to do it this way, you know, because we think it's easier or whatever. I think I can do this now. And God's going to show you that he's going to give you things that are not possible for you to do. So the righteous prayer is going to be, God, I can't do this. You're going to have to do it. And God's going to say, I want you to agree with me that I do it this particular way. And you're going, wow, that's beyond me. That's above me. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it's hard for you to comprehend. I'm going to do that in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Jesus, for showing her that the prayers of a righteous woman are not necessarily just picking out a scripture and doing that, but it is God revealing how to pray. Spontaneously and giving information on how to pray about that. And those are the prayers that are going to be open to you and answered. He says that the scripture talks about in Mark 11, 24, 25, it says, I will give you, let me read that scripture to you. Wait a minute. Okay, let's go here. I'm going to read it to you. So, the King James Version is particularly, especially good in the King James Version. Go here. All right, Mark 11:25. I want to go to the King James Version now. Let's go back here, King James. King James says it the clearest. Mark 11:25. All right. He says, and when you stand praying, that's now 11:24. Let's see. Mark 11:24. Therefore, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So that's what I'm saying. The righteous prayer is, therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you're in a when you're in the prayer anointing, when you're in the prayer mode and the prayer flow, when you're in the prayer flow, not just blurting out something because you feel like blurting. But when you get in a prayer flow, when you're in that prayer mode and your heart is praying and you're believing and you're really in the heart of prayer, in that moment of the prayer anointing, whatsoever things you desire in that moment, pray those things. And those things are the righteous prayers. Then you shall receive them. Because he says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, when you're praying, the things that you desire when you're praying, not going to prayer with so much, but, you know, those things are cool too. But when you get in the prayer mode, whatsoever things you desire as you're in the prayer desire realm, he starts giving you desires as you get into prayer mode, those desires, praying, teaching you how to pray those things, and those things you will receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense or not. That's the righteous prayer. The prayers of a righteous woman avail much, and God's going to really show you how to walk in that at a new level in Jesus' name, at a new level. All right? Glory to glory. All right, 478-233. Who am I talking to you, Ruth, please?
From Georgia. Janice from Georgia.
Okay, Janice, thank you. All right, Janice, thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Janice. I thank you, Lord, for God showing you the difference between, you know, praying and doing their own thing and those that are seeking the will of God. It's kind of like what happened with Aaron. When Aaron had two sons, Abihu, what was it? The two guys that got struck dead because they were offering up strange incense to God. And so I can't think of their names right now, but I'll think of it here in a second. But so they were offering up strange prayers in the presence of God, and God said, you know, you don't pray those prayers like that and offer up strange incense. And so God's going to show you how to, you know, the difference between strange incense or strange prayers or ways, things that are not of God prayers, and the people that are praying the righteous prayers, the prayers that go up to God, the prayers that are from God, praying in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit, and showing that some people say, well, my prayers aren't being answered. Well, you're offering up strange incense. You're praying in weird ways. You're praying your own will. You're doing your own thing. You're praying out of your own stuff, not out of God's stuff, and not out of the Holy Spirit. And when you're doing that, you know, those things they fall to the ground, or they get struck dead. They don't go up. They go down. They just fall. They're dead. And God's showing you, you know, how to even recognize the prayer of others when they're praying, and it's just dead prayers. It's something God doesn't even look at or accept. And God is very picky about what he accepts. He says he only accepts prayers that are prayed by the Spirit or in the will of God. And so God's showing you how to do that, how to walk in that realm of and recognize people that know how to pray. So you can see two or more agree together as touching a thing, it shall be done. But it's two or more people that know how to pray, not two of them that offered up strange incense and one that's not, one that's praying right and two or not. But getting together with people that pray the right prayers, those things shall be done. It's not a question of will it or can it. It will be done. Because it's being offered up by the Holy Ghost, not by strange spirits, not by strange wills, the will of man being, you know, offered up with strange incense. But the incense is really the prayers of godly people praying by the Spirit of God. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of her prayers, God, in Jesus' name, and opening up, and I see the power of prayer with you, you know, breaking down principalities, breaking down things that have been held back, things that have been held back from you. And I see God with that righteous prayer, with that godly prayer, with that godly incense, the prayers of the saints, you know, rising up to heaven, and God going, yeah. And answering those prayers and bringing those things to pass in Jesus' name, and showing you that God's showing you that he's with you. And, so God revealing to you that he is with you, that he's for you, that he's giving you his desires, and he's showing you his ways in Jesus' name, and that those prayers are gonna be the ones that, you know, that break through the heavens. Like I see... Like what I keep seeing with you is like like the heavens are brass over us. You know, it's like something's not breaking through. And I can see your prayers, you know, getting together with the right people and then praying the right prayers in agreement that those limitations and those hindrances are not there, because God just, you know, has angels and has spiritual power breaking through those things that try to hinder, can't stop it. In other words, you got like Michael and the angels, the good angels, the God angels, fighting the bad angels and winning, because when your prayers are right, it causes the angels to be strengthened. Because when you're praying scripture and praying things right, it opens up the heavens for the heavens to, you know, bring, you know, to break through and to bring the answer where they're not delayed and take forever. And I see delays being broken. I see things that have been delayed being brought to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Did I do that? My at here. All right. 682-738. Who am I talking to, Reverend, please? 682, are you there? All right, 682-738, are you there? This is LaShun. Thank you, Lord, for LaShun tonight, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for LaShun. We thank you, Lord, for giving her the confidence, Father, of how to, you know, her confidence level, God, that you're moving in her confidence realm, in the realm of her faith, and giving her confidence to step out. And when to step out and when not to step out. When you don't have courage, LaShun, that's because courage is, you know, we can't have our own courage. Peter had his own courage, but it always failed. Went under pressure because he just was doing his own thing, you know, just like we can do sometimes, you know. But when God gives you courage to do something, that means that it's he's giving you the power to do it. Courage and power are the same thing. He's going to show you that when God gives you courage to do something, that means that he's giving you the approval to do it. And so, but it doesn't always mean that it's going to work out immediately. Sometimes he has you break into an area and then you you know, you have to do the work of you know, letting God, you know, take the things out that are not him and put things in there that are his. And sometimes they're taking territory. God's called you to take territory. And taking territory in people's lives, teaching people how to take territory back from the enemy, that things that belong to them. Those things are not – the devil just doesn't go, okay, I give up, here you go. No, he fights. And God's showing you how to fight the good fight. And to the courage to stand up, like he gave Joshua the courage to stand up. And Joshua didn't have the courage. If he hadn't been given the courage by God, he probably would have melted in fear, because when you walk in the supernatural realm, you know, if you're not going there with God, they'll smash you like a bug. And so when you start realizing you really know that and you really walk in the reverential fear and awe of God, then you wait for that strength and that courage that God gives you to enter in and do those things. Amen. And God's showing you how that works and how, you know, because we're walking in God, he has to give us his courage, because everything we're going to do for him is going to be bigger than us. If it's bigger than us, if it's not big, if we can do it ourselves, then it's not God. If he has to give us courage to do it, then it's him. If he knows that our courage will not do it. And God's showing you the difference between that and how to walk in that, so that you go in with great confidence and great courage. Amen. Amen. All right, 404-453, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi. Hi, Randy. This is Madeline.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Madeline. All right, we're not talking tonight. We're just prophesying over people, so thank you for being here. Madeline, good to talk to you. All right. Very nice to have you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Madeline. I thank you, Lord, for the different ways that you've dealt with her personality and how you, she's grown and changed and moved. Sometimes you would go through broken things, through brokenness and through hard situations, because sometimes the parts of our personality that we think they're our personality are not really our personality at all. And God is trying to bring forth the fruit of our real personalities. And so he takes us through difficult things, and we start, so some of the things, when we go through difficult things, we give up on things. We give up on, okay, this, you know, so God, so you end up with the gold. After the fire comes the gold, and the gold is the personality of God in you. God's showing you that it's not just his personality, it's your personality in God, or God's personality through you, however you want to say it. And God's showing you that you know, like when I first got saved, I had a lot of, you know, I still had issues I was dealing with, and my personality changed over the years. Like I take those personality tests, And when God changed me later on, I would take those same tests again. I'm going like, oh, I used to be like that, but I'm not like that anymore. So my personality test thing would change, and then they would tell me, oh yeah, you're not like this anymore. You're like this. Like, oh, are you schizophrenic or something? Your personality changed. I'm going, no, you know, God's just changing me. You know, God delivered me of fears. He took things out of my life. He added things to my life. He gave me courage. He gave me strength. He gave me something to live for. He gave me something, and that changed the way I thought about everything, the way I acted, the way I responded. My whole personality changed. And God's showing you that he's done doing a beautiful work in you. Of your personality has to do with who you really are, and none of us are 100% of who we really are supposed to be. We're growing in that. We're learning in that. We're learning how to walk in that. And so God's showing you how to let him develop his personality or your personality through him or his personality through you. You know, the gold, the glory of God through you, Christ in you. Not Christ in Randy, Christ in you. And it's going to be different. Personality is going to be different. Things are going to be different. And the real you is coming forth, girl. The real you is coming forth. And that's going to make you happy and peaceful and joyful and know that you, when you're walking in your own personality, the personality God's given you, you're walking in great confidence because you're not trying to be somebody else or be something else. You're being what God has called you to be. You're not walking somebody else's faith. You're walking in the faith that God has given you. Therefore, you walk in great confidence and great peace. Amen. It's really very satisfying. Amen. That's awesome. All right. 720-682, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? All right, 720-682, are you there? I think this is Mike and Veronica, and they have a couple different numbers here. So let's do it. All right, 720. All right, 720. I'm getting messed up here. All right, I think it's Mike and Veronica. So let's pray over Mike and Veronica. And thank you, Jesus, for their life, God. I thank you, Father, for Veronica. Lord, I thank you, God, that when two people come together, God, you the whole thing is sometimes the harder it is to come together. When you have two strong personalities, thank you, God, that sometimes what God does with that, if he makes it twice as strong, or some people, two people can put 1,000 to flight, you know, you'll put 10,000 to flight because your personalities are. When God brings two people together, that is been a difficult thing, a bit difficult ride, and I can attest, I understand that a little bit. You bring two strong personalities together, and there's that battle over, you know, trying to find that place of where we acknowledge each other's leadership and the power of the other person. And so, you know, in doing that, we have to die to ourselves. So as you learn to die to yourself, you find out that you can serve that other person and let them be strong when they're strong. But that other person has to learn to let you be strong when you're strong and you be weak while they're strong. And then they be weak while you're strong, and learning how to walk in that and knowing that, that's what God's called you to do. So where two or more has come together, when two come together, you know, it's warfare. If you want to grow in Jesus, get married. You want to grow in Jesus in a way you've never grown before, just get married, and you'll find out that a lot of issues start coming up in you that you never knew were there. Same things happened to me. Oh my God, I'm going, man, I didn't realize I had this many issues until I got married. I go, oh my God, all my issues started coming to the surface. Why? Because you enter into a thing where you have to. You're living with somebody, and you're dwelling with them, and it provokes you, and it causes you to, you know, look at things in a different way. And now you're in a battle. Now you're in a struggle. And so it's a beautiful thing. Marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a very difficult thing sometimes. And I thank you, Jesus, for the power of God. You're going to use them in such powerful ways, God, because they're going to dwell together, live together, move together, be intertwined together, be interknit together, in Jesus' name. And most of all, learn to trust you. It's not about trusting our mate. It's about trusting God. And in trusting God, God gives us the ability to trust our mate to do whatever. And gives us the ability to lay our life down. Gives us the ability to love them when they're not worthy of it sometimes. When just like me, I'm not always worthy of the love of another person. Like, oh, my God, I can be such a pain in the rear. You know, and yet, you know, so So it's learning how to lay down your life. And I thank you, Jesus, for giving them the strength and the power and the great love that they both have for you, Jesus, bringing that love that they have for you into a love for each other in Jesus' name. And that abiding love and that dwelling, that inner dwelling love, God, because they're built, they're called to build a twofold house, a house of war and a house of peace. Amen. A house of war and a house of peace. David was a man of war, and yet the purpose of all the wars was eventually to bring peace. So we always remember that though we're called to go to battle, we're called to build the house of the Lord. David was a warrior, and yet at the same time, the other part of him wanted to build a tabernacle where he could worship. And so God has brought you two together to teach you how to do warfare, and take down the enemy, and also to create a place of worship. And God's going to do that through you. It's going to be amazing. It is amazing. It's going to be amazing. Amen. You're going to grow in that together. And it's a doubly anointed house with a double anointing from God. Amen. All right. I'm getting lost on my numbers. Did I take 682? I already take 682, right? I think I already did that. 682, 738, are you there? I think I already did that. I think that was nice. All right, 608-960. Can I talk to you where you're from, please?
Shannon, Wisconsin.
Okay, Shannon. Hey, Shannon. Good to have you, my brother. Hang on a second. All right, Shannon, thank you, Lord, for Shannon, God. We thank you, Lord, for all the counterfeits, God, that you bring them through the counterfeit realm in Jesus' name. Everything that's been a counterfeit in his life, drink some water, all the counterfeits, God bringing you through the counterfeit realm, showing you the different kinds of counterfeit realms and what they all do and how many people live in the counterfeit realm all their life, and they never really realize what was real, what was true, what was right. And so God's going to, it's taking you, well, sometimes you've dealt probably more with counterfeit stuff than most people that I know of, I think. Just counterfeit things that are counterfeits. And which one's the counterfeit? Which one's God? Which one's God? Which one's not God? And the whole counterfeit realm is enemy strategy. Is to bring a counterfeit. So God, opening your eyes, is showing you the counterfeit, showing you how it works, showing you the purpose of the counterfeit, and showing you how the real thing brings peace. The real thing brings joy, but the real thing does bring us to a place of going to battle in the spirit with those things that are counterfeit. Amen. Jesus said, "I can bring you life and bring it to you abundantly," but Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the counterfeiter. Purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, to keep you distracted from God's peace and joy and love. That's what the counterfeit does. And the real thing brings you peace, love, and joy. It is aware of the devices of the counterfeit. So I thank you, Jesus, for the whole counterfeit realm, God, and showing him that. And by showing him the real thing, as the more he sees the real thing, God, he's going to be able to identify the counterfeits. And that's one of the things God's going to use you to teach other people, brother. Is the counterfeit realm. Like, oh, that's a counterfeit. You'll be able to identify it right away. You've seen it. You know it. You've been there. You go, oh, that's a counterfeit. No, that's a counterfeit. No, it's not. It's not a counterfeit, Shannon. Yes, it is. It's a counterfeit. And they go into it 6 months later going, yeah, that was a counterfeit. Yeah, so in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Open them up to that realm, God, of the counterfeit realm. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, I think this is Mike and Mark in 720-620. Are y'all there? I think I already prayed for them anyway. But all right, 720-819. Can we talk to your friend?
It's Jeff and Yuki.
Jeff and Yuki, the 111 people. Okay, very cool. All right, thank you, Jesus. And that, that whole thing of the divided kingdom. The divided kingdom is we're gonna see a divided kingdom. And when a kingdom gets divided, it's usually because one kingdom is going one direction think they're being led by the Lord, and the other kingdom is being led by God. And so God's going to show you guys, the two different kingdoms and how that one kingdom thinks they're doing the right thing, thinks they're doing the God thing, and they're just being led by the flesh. It's no more than it's a religious spirit. It's not a God thing. And the other kingdom, which has a king and a kingdom and rules and regulations that are full of love and compassion and grace, and being led by the Spirit of God, having tremendous freedom and joy. I see the spirit of worship hitting you. I see the spirit of great joy coming on you. I see a new tongue. I see a tongue of the Spirit rising up out of you, and speaking. I speak in languages that you don't even know, but the people around you are going to know those languages, and they're going to go, "Wow, Yuki, how did you know our language?" You go like, "What language? Oh, yeah, you were talking our language." And I've had that experience before with the Hebrew thing, right? I talked about that. And so I see those things breaking up out of you and breaking through you and the communication of the Holy Spirit, because God's bringing you to the communication realm of how to communicate the proper kingdom, the right kingdom, what the real kingdom's doing, to expose the false kingdoms. There's many different false kingdoms that are going the different direction, the wrong way. They listen. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice," and they don't follow another one. So those that follow the other one, and all those following everything else but God, so they're going the wrong direction. But those who know my voice don't follow other people. They follow me, and they follow those that are led by me. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. And I see you you communicating, God using you to communicate in the spirit realm, just like I did when I was in Israel, and I prayed in one of my regular tongues. It just happened to be Hebrew, and spoke a message to that guy. He said that I was saying in Hebrew, "Christ is exalted at the right hand of the Father." Well, wow, it was amazing. And it bore witness to him. It shocked him. When he said, "Do you know Hebrew?" I said, "I don't know any Hebrew." It was amazing that he heard me speaking in a supernatural language. So it confirmed to him, the message of God, and also showed him that I didn't know Hebrew, and yet I'm speaking in a supernatural language of Hebrew, and yet it's his language, and he's going like, "Oh, my God." It really touched him. So I see those kind of things happening to you, Yuke, in Jesus' name. So God, I thank you for opening my sister to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all the different languages that you've given that, and the spirit of worship upon her. God, I see like on Jeff, God, and Yuki both, really. I see on Jeff like David dancing out of his clothes. That God has called you guys, called you I'm going to call you David right now. Call you Jeff to do the worship thing, to have the spirit of worship. And just, you're just like, I don't know if it's literally happening to you, but like David, when David brought the presence of God into his town, into his place, into the city, the city of David, or wherever he was at, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant in there, it was worship time, man. They were worshiping because the spirit of worship was in David so much strong. He was connected to that. He was built for that. And so I see you like dancing out of your clothes, like David danced out of his clothes. And it's like it was embarrassing. It was so amazing because he was more excited about God's blessing being on God's people than he was about anything else. And he knew that the Ark of the Covenant, or the presence of God, or the glory of God, and the worship of God, and he brought that Ark and he brought it into the temple and set up a tent and got worshipers and had it going on. And that spirit of worship just moving in and filling the temple, filling that area with the glory of God. And I see you guys being very involved in that, in Jesus' name, in a very powerful way. The spirit of worship, the spirit of true worship, not the false worship, but God's going to show you guys the difference between true worship and the false worship. Not some, fragmentation, not something where they just get up there and they do something, they sing in, popular songs, but the spirit of, like David, like, "Oh my God, we love you, Jesus, with all of our heart," and spontaneous music and powerful music and powerful worship flowing out and connecting people with the real move of God and the new move, the new wine, the new wineskin. Amen. All right, 951-966, who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Regina in California.
Oh, hi, Regina. All right.
Hi.
All right, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the familiar things. We thank you, Lord, for the things some things we're familiar with God, we're used to. We're kind of like going, "Okay, God," like Regina's familiar with the way you do things with that. I see that. I understand that. I acknowledge that. But I see God bringing some things to you that you're not familiar with, that, but you're going to bear witness with. This is a God thing. This is a God thing. Things that you're like going, I've never seen this or heard of that before. But you have a spirit. You have the spirit of God inside you that can bear witness to a thing, that a thing is of God when you've never really been familiar with it. You know, so you don't have to be familiar with everything that God brings to you. It's something that your spirit man just picks up and knows. You go like, man, that's a God thing. That's a God thing. I've never seen it. I've never had experience with that. I don't know anything about it. That's a God thing. So God's giving you that ability to discern that, to know that, and to be quickened by that, and to recognize that, and to acknowledge it, and so you don't have to be familiar with all the ways of God. Sometimes God brings in new things and to add to what we already have. And most people, if they're not familiar with it, they reject it because they don't think it's not. When Jesus came along, he was the new thing. And a lot of people loved him. A lot of people, the crowd, people get this image that Jesus was just like, just had a few friends and a few people that came in. No, the whole world was coming to him. It's just the religious people that were rejecting him, the few religious people that were rejecting him. Most of the world was like, they saw, oh, my God, they recognized him as being the new thing. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is, but we recognize something about it. Well, it's the same thing within you. There's an ability in you to, you know, acknowledge what's new, even if you're not used to it. You haven't been taught about it. It's like something you can just pick it up. So, and that it can go in many different realms. We can do it have to do with things that God's doing in your life and your family, and you'll be able to recognize, okay, this doesn't make any sense, but it's, you know, like when Joseph was being, you know, thrown into situations that he was not familiar with. And it was like new territory to him, and he didn't know what was going on. He's like, but I don't know what this is, but, man, somehow or another God's in this thing. And he would recognize that. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that in my sister's life, God, to recognize you moving and acknowledging the things and knowing that you don't have to be familiar and know everything about everything that God's doing to recognize something new when it comes along and flowing with that. So I thank you, Jesus, for Regina. She's made with the new wineskins, for the new things you're doing, God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And those old things are going to pass away. Behold, a new thing is coming upon the earth. Amen. All right. 251-229.
Hello?
Yes, can I talk to you where you're from, please?
Yes, this is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Oh, hey, Sarah. All right, Sarah. We're prophesying over people tonight, as you know. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. Lord, thank you for opening Sarah up to those divine appointments, God, in Jesus' name, to where she will not miss a divine appointment. Even so, sometimes divine appointments come. It's like I was sharing with the caller before, with Regina, that sometimes, you know, divine appointments come and we don't recognize them because we're like going, you know, but entertaining angels unawares. In other words, we're unaware of it, but yet it's a God thing. It's not like something. The angel doesn't have a sign on his head going, I'm an angel, you know, I'm come from God, I'm come here to help you, so that you'll be aware of things that being entertaining angels unaware. In other words, the kind heart you have, the loving spirit that you have about you, being kind to people, because you never know when you're going to entertain an angel, when you're entertaining something that God's doing in your life, so that you don't miss a visitation, you don't miss the thing that God's doing. Sometimes I think that the angel unaware thing has to do with learning to be kind to everybody, you know, and learn how to be kind, you know, as God gives us the kindness. Sometimes there's special kindness that we give people. Be kind to everybody, but sometimes God will have you stop. Like Jesus sometimes would stop and say, you know, I want to be really, really kind to you. What do you need today? He could have done that to millions of people, but he would stop once in a while and go, I don't know what it is. What do you want today? Oh, I want to. I'm blind. I want to see. Okay, there you go. So he would stop and be, you know, extra kind to some people. He wasn't always kind. He was always kind to everybody, but he would stop and be extra kind. You see what I'm saying? So it's like sometimes God's going to – you have such a heart to give and love and be a part and do God's will that love and kindness that you have for God and God's people is going to – and being kind to everybody. Sometimes he's going to show you how to be extra kind to certain people, and that extra kindness – is going to be a blessing. Somehow or another, it's going to, like, bless you and bless them and connect you with someone that you might not normally connect up with. You're going like, oh, my God, this is a divine appointment. And thank God that I was kind to them because I didn't miss it. And God's showing you the reward of your kindness, what the purpose of being kind and being open to be kind to people. And because sometimes those kindness things become appointments for glory moments. They become appointments from God, where God is saying, okay, that's a divine appointment. I'm glad you're kind to them because you didn't miss it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up the windows of heaven, God, and pour out Sarah a blessing tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She will not miss one opportunity, one appointment from God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. You know, nobody else has their hand up tonight. I think I've got everybody that has their hand up. So if you want to get ministry tonight, make sure you get your hand up real quick because we're going to move on. All right, 817, did I already talk to you? 817-412?
Hello? No, yes, my name is Beverly from Texas.
Your name is what now, sorry?
Beverly from Texas.
Beverly, hi Beverly. Okay, Beverly, nice to have you tonight. Thanks for calling in, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Beverly, God. I thank you, Father, for the tenderness and the heart you've given her to be tender. That your tenderness toward her causes her to be tender toward other people. God, I thank you. You know, Beverly, God's really showing you more and more how to let God love you, how to let him love you, how to let him be tender to you, how to let him, you know, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, one time the glory of God just kind of came up, and I was all by myself in the living room, and the glory of God just kind of like, for some reason, showed up, and I was like, it freaked me out. I think I hindered it because I kind of went, oh, my God, what is this? Oh, my God, it's just so... you know, amazing. And God was trying to come into my room in a very special way and just love on me. It freaked me out. I mean, I just kind of went, oh, my God, what is this? And I just kind of like, it shook me up. And the Lord says, Randy, I'm teaching you how to, I want to love you. If you'll let me, the more you let me love you, the more love you're going to have to give to other people. The more you let me be tender and kind to you, the more kindness and tenderness, supernatural kindness and tenderness that you're going to have to give to other people. So, learn to let me, allow me to love you. Don't always just trying to be think you got to love me, love me, love me. In fact, you can't even love me correctly without letting me love you first. You know, God first gave us love so that we could love him and love others with it. So God is wanting to show you how to, you know, love you. Let him show you his tenderness, his kindness, because the more you let him do it, the more you're going to have the more you're going to have more, the more power and kindness to love other people and to, you know, do the will of God. So it's like learning how to let him love. I mean, that was difficult for me because I thought we're supposed to love, do all the loving. We're supposed to be doing all the giving. And God says, yeah, you give, but I give too. I give to you. I want to give you compassion, tenderness, mercy, affection, show you my attention. And when I give it to you, then you receive it, then it causes you to, you know, be able to give to others and be a blessing. Yeah. So let him show you. And I'm sure you already know how to do that, of course. You know, we all do a little bit. But, man, sometimes God takes it up a notch. It's kind of like shakes you up a little bit. Man, when I've had visitation with God, it's like, I'm just trying to come and love you, Randy. And I go, oh, wow, you just showed up out of the blue and, you know, send me a warning or something like, oh, prepare me for this because, woo, it's like amazing. And, you know, can't even hardly talk, can't even hardly speak. And the Lord's saying, you know, yeah, because I'm trying to teach you how to let me love you. I mean, let me bless you. Let me show up. And the more you let me do that, the more power and anointing you're going to have to be a blessing to other people. So it's really about fellowshipping with God, not just about talking and giving your love to God, but letting God love you back. Amen. So open up our eyes, all of our eyes, God. We need that tonight. Open up her eyes in Jesus' name in a brand new way that she can let you, that she will let you love her deeper and more powerfully all the time, all day long in Jesus' name so she can give more, have more to give. All right, 803-91, I think this is Angela. Who am I talking to? Where you from, please?
My name is Angela, South Carolina.
Yeah, all right, Angela, thank you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Angela. We thank you, Lord, for the okay, for the approval. Lord, that you're showing, you want to show your approval to her and give her that, walk her through that approval realm, what you approve of. You know, when God approves of things, like he's showing his approval of you. Just because God approves of us doesn't make us perfect. It's just that his approval of us opens us up to knowing that he approves of us. When he approves of us, when he favors us and approves of us, then it's like it helps us, like, okay, so I'm approved of God. Oh, wow. Okay, so, you know, like you, when you go to the store and you put your card in there and you buy something that says, you have been approved. You know, like, I go, oh, okay, thank you. You know, so when you've been approved of, then you can, you know, that means you're purchasing whatever you can purchase. It's like I see God showing you his approval so you know that you can purchase whatever you need to purchase. And so to get from him, you know, like when God shows you that he's approved of you, Angela, and we know it, you know, at deeper and deeper levels, that approval enables us to, if you will, you know, receive the things of God. Like when you put your card in there and you put the, it says for you, put a code or number, whatever you put in there, and then it says approved. You know, in other words, you're able to pay for what you got because you were approved. And so that whole realm of payment and of God blessing you and of God showing you the kind of credit you have with him and the kind of access you have and the kind of treasure you have, the kind of ability you have to buy from him. The Bible says, come buy of me gold tried in the fire. You have no money. You have no whatever. Come buy of me gold tried in the fire. And I see you being able to buy from God gold tried in the fire because he approves of you. He's trying to show you, I approve of you, Angela. You don't have to do anything to give me approval. You're mine. I love you, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show people that I approve of you. And some people going to get jealous. Some people going to get upset. Some people are like, you know, who do you think you are? Like they with Joseph and Jesus and others, who God showed the thing that's scary about God showing his approval is that it causes people to be jealous. Yeah, when Joseph's father showed. His brothers, Joseph's brothers, he approved of them, him more than them. And he did. He made it very plain, but made him a coat and everything. And what that do, what that cost, Joseph cost him much pain, much trouble. And God wanted him to learn how to deal with that kind of trouble. See, so we think, oh, we're not supposed to, you know, we get favor, we're not going to deal with trouble. No, favor causes trouble. It causes trouble. They were jealous of Jesus and killed him. They were jealous of Joseph and trying to get rid of him. That's what jealousy, that's what it does. People get them jealous over that. So you have to get used to that and learn that when God shows his approval, it doesn't always come with no struggles and no storm and no battle. It comes with battles and storms. And God, the thing is that God's approval also means that he's going to bring you through it. You're going to walk in the water. You're going to walk through those things. And I'm going to show them that I do approve of you, and they can't do anything about it. Amen. All right. All right, 912-246. Can I talk to you, Rigram, please?
Angela Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Angela Joy, Georgia. All right, Angela Joy, she was on PGN Sunday night. It was so good to have her. Thank you, Jesus, for expanding her, God. Thank you for commanding anointing. Psalms 133 is the commanded anointing. I just thought about that, Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil poured down on the head of Aaron, down the beard, and the commanded blessing. So let's look at that for a second, the commanded blessing. There's something about that God wants to talk about, so we must let him talk about it, right? Here we go. All right, Psalms 133. Where's that? In the Old Testament. Of course it is in the Old Testament. I'm talking to myself here. I know exactly where it's at. Yeah, in the Bible. All right. Let's go here. Psalms 133. It's a long, 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 very long. Okay, I'm just going to read. I'm going to prophesy this over you. Jesus' name, the song of degrees, a song of degrees of David, a song of degrees. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is, Angela Joy,
for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. I know you don't have a beard because you're a woman. Even Aaron's beard, but it's talking about the priestly part of you, the Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. And I thank you, Lord, for this fresh new anointing on Angela Joy about the commanded blessing, about the oil pouring down and the priestly garments being activated and that sweet fragrance of the oil. Because that oil, the anointing oil, I just thought about this, really cool. The anointing oil was made very special with a fragrant thing. In other words, you got this oil poured on, you just smell like oil. You smell like perfume. It smelled like, you know, like beauty, like people like turned around and they go, what is that beautiful smell? Oh, that's Angela Joy. You know, kind of like, oh, wow, that's a priestly thing going. Thank you, Jesus, for the activation of the priestly Angela Joy, the Angela Joy that has a beard, that has garments in Jesus' name, the part of her that dwells with God and that anointing of unity with God. Because if we have unity with God, you know, we don't need unity with anybody else. Now, God will bring unity with other people, but we don't need unity with other people. When we got unity with God, you know, God, when he speaks that commanded blessing, I mean, that's it. That's all we need. That's all we need. And then God causes things to work around that. Or I thank you for that, because what I heard tonight when I first got you on was the commanded blessing. So thank you, Lord, for that. I speak and prophesy. Psalms 133, verse 3. There you go. Look at all the threes in that. 133:3. 133:3. Thank you, Jesus, for that commanded blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That anointing, that precious, beautiful smell of that special, of that precious oil. It's not just any oil. It's precious oil. And that oil has a fragrance about it that'll turn heads. And I thank you, Jesus, for the head-turning blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, that head-turning anointing. In other words, getting, you know, the thing that the woman who got Jesus' attention when she said yes, and we, and the puppies even eat the dogs eat the crumbs from the master table. You know, I mean, that got his attention. You know, so this is a get attention of God, the attention getting oil smell, because God said when they made that oil, if you use that oil for anything else other than that, it's going to mess you up. So I thank you, Lord, that special oil that can't be used for anything else other than the priestly, to get the attention of God, to bring it, to be a blessing to God, and to come before God, and God goes, okay, what do you want, girl? Yeah, because you're smelling good, man. Like, y'all made that oil exactly the way I wanted it, because that oil, that particular smell of that particular oil makes me go, what do you want? Just like Jesus told the woman, that woman who said, even the dogs eat the crumb, what do you want? Because you have just excited me. You have just, wow, enter his presence with thanksgiving and for the presence and that aroma of it wasn't incense, it was the oil that gets attention. The commanded oil is the oil that gets attention from God. So I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, y'all. Is that it tonight? Is that all we got? 111, you don't have a head up. And I think everybody else already ministered to. Maybe 111 might be somebody I've already prayed for, so I don't know. All right. I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. It's been great. It's only 11:34, but I've been really busy. We are pray for us as we are putting together we're redoing our whole board, our board of directors. We're redoing all that. We're redoing the website, actually, getting a new website. So get ready for that. I got a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things going on right now. We're changing things. We're rearranging things. Like I said, our board of directors is being completely changed. We're opening up an account which has to have the board of directors. We're also doing the ECFA thing, which is a group that, shows that you're doing your finances right. We decided to get into that, ECFA. I think I've already told everybody about that. We're doing that. We have to have 5 board members or more. We only had like 2 or 3. So now we have to have 5 or more. And so we're adding to, taking away some board members and putting in some new ones, doing all that stuff. So y'all pray for us. There's a lot going on right now. I mean, a whole lot going on. And it's all good. It's all good because God's blessing us. And we're even changing, like I said, our website to make it simpler and easier and more beautiful and up-to-date, all that. All right? So pray about all that. Thanks for your giving. Thanks for your help. And we're doing it, man. God is helping us, and we are doing it with his approval. Yes, we are. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right. All right. So we're going to call it a night. Nobody else has their hand up. So that's it for me. Hasta la vista, everybody. Enjoyed it. Love that oil, that attention-getting oil. I've never heard that before. You know, like somebody walks in with this, you know, they got this cologne just doused all over them, you know. It smells great. As soon as they walk into the little room you're in or whatever, the store, or you go into the store or whatever, and the whole room fills up with you. You're like, going, everybody turns around and looks, where's that coming from? That smells great. I've never seen that before. That's pretty cool. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much. It's been awesome. Bye.